Lazy.
This is the Big and Lazy podcast. This is Big, and we got a very special service for y'all. Early access.
BuyMeACoffee.com/confirmed.
$5 will get you early access to the episode next day.
And $8 will get you exclusive content as well as early access to the episode. So if you don't want to miss any of the good stuff that we've got going on, then please subscribe to us at buymeacoffee.com/confirmed. Bye.
You're listening to Confirmed.
This podcast was produced by B. Haywood for Confirmed Podcast Network.
I'm cold in the bitch, these niggas cut up. Met a bad little bitch around my way. She was cold, I'm talking about certified. Said bad little bitch on the shit around my way. I probably stressed her. And I stick at them jaws, but I'm a dog and I don't love her. Might pull her to the crib, knock on that door like where that pussy at. Make a touch of toes and snatch a soul. I'm hitting it from the back like ski ski. What you doing?
The Big and Lazy Podcast. We're back with another episode. I'm B. Fines. I got my co-host.
We're lazy, man. We back again, man. Introduce yourself, my boy.
What's going on? What's going on? It's Marty on the beat, man. Self-made 808. All right.
Got another producer in the house, man.
Thank you for stopping by. Appreciate that.
For sure. Appreciate y'all having
me. Sorry for my lateness, my boy.
Oh, nigga, time is cool.
Man. It's all right. Shit happens.
Yeah, it does.
I thought I was late. I was here on time.
Yeah.
I thought I was late.
I usually be on time. Just so much shit going on these next 2-3 months for me, man. It's crazy, man. But, man, how you doing today, man? Thanks for stopping by. Big and Lazy Pie, man.
I'm smooth, man. Just living.
That's right.
Keep it rolling, man. That's trying right. Trying to stay focused and out the way.
That's what's up, man. So,
how does the industry, like, how's it treating you? How's the music and stuff, how's it treating you? Like, how's it going right now?
Shit. It's going good. Seeing as, man, I started from a fucking closet.
Yeah.
To be owning my own studio.
Yeah.
And I'm one of the only black-owned studios, I think, in Louisville.
That's what's really? Up.
That's I think I'm up. One of, like, two, I think.
Uh-huh.
That's black-owned, and then I financed it all myself. I ain't right. need nobody else to do that. So, shit, I feel accomplished, to be honest.
Right.
I'm fully independent. Ain't no
that's what's up.
Extra loans or none of that shit. Like, I right. didn't need none of that. I literally took it and put it together myself.
So how much of that you think made you, like, coming from the closet? Because I feel you on that. I'm an artist, too, and that's really where it starts. You know what I mean? So how does it feel to know how far you've came, you know, and how did that mold you, too?
I feel good. I mean, my first, the reason I even got into it, because the nigga told me, nah, I ain't helping no new niggas.
Right.
Really?
So, yeah, like, it fucked me up. And I'm not going to say his name because we cool.
Cool, yeah.
But it's more so of like you supposed to be an older nigga, like I'm trying to learn the wave. From the right. time I think I'm like 25. I picked it up so late because I was a hooper. Mm-hmm. So I picked it up so late and I'm just like, damn, if I'd have just had the guidance at that time, nigga, I'd been in a whole nother ballgame, but I'm glad he did that.
Yeah.
Because now it made me want to go do that shit myself because the problem that I was running into, first, after I learned how to structure a beat, shit, how to make it sound good.
Right.
Took me a while, and I'm just like, fuck. So I finally got somebody to rap on it, which was Queen, the artist Queen.
Okay.
And she one of the first ones got on my shit. I'm like, all right, cool. But then we ain't had nowhere to record.
Right. Yeah.
So I took FL Studio. I was like, shit, I was just trying some shit. I accidentally put the shit together. Unintentionally, I did it right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And shit, I pressed record. That shit worked. I was like, oh, shit. To the point where if I take it apart, I don't know how to do it again.
Damn. So, and this is in the closet?
It's literally at my house in the closet.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. I had a desk set up, and then I had the mic routed to the closet, like some shit I seen on TV.
Yeah.
So in hindsight, it actually all worked out for the best, him not giving you the game. Because once you got it yourself, there's nothing they can do with it. You know what I'm saying? Got that shit.
Facts. I took it in. To me, I took it to another level.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I can help an independent artist better than probably anybody around her because I ain't no gatekeeper.
Right.
It's a lot of that going on in Louisville.
It is.
Hate that.
That's a lot of reason why I slowed down myself too. Like, yeah. It's like the people, it's really like who you know. And I feel like the people who I know, I feel like, damn, I'm not ready to kiss your ass though. You know what I mean? Like, I'll drop some money, but at the same time, it's like, it's a lot of people, you know, it's probably a handful of people that really got their hands in some industry action in the city.
Yeah, and it's for me, I feel like even, say if they the people that I write on a brink of having a hand in it, The problem with it is they want you to pay an arm and leg for the information. Then they get them. It's not gonna get you nowhere.
Right.
They let you. They'll give you some bullshit information. Let you run in a circle, knowing that was straight bullshit, bro. Like,
well, even if they can take you to a label, you didn't gave them money to take you to a label, and the label don't like you. Like,
that makes niggas quit.
That's add on that.
Yeah, it make you quit. It make you rethink like everything. So
speaking of gatekeeping, it was somebody on Facebook. She should remain nameless, but you know, she had a business. I ain't gonna say a business. She had a business, but she was just on there talking, like, I didn't put in blood, sweat, and tears. So if you want some game, I'm gonna charge you this, that, and the third, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. I'm like, all right. But when it was time to start the podcast, you in my inbox.
Yeah.
I'm here. Get this, use this. I'm gonna tell you much as I know. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I'm surprised. I ain't no hating ass nigga like it. I ain't no. Right. And in the same breath, you can give somebody the recipe, but you know, a chef got to put it together. You can give somebody the tools. You know, here's the ham. Here's the what. But you can't put it together. You know what I mean? So ain't nobody gonna outwork us either. So we the hardest working people. So I don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what I told him when I came here. I said the setup is damn near perfect. It make you comfortable automatically.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, like the ambience. Yeah, I give a shout out to we them girls too, because they put, you know, they got it's like a little female touching, you know, the plants and the light. What's that fancy bottles back there? Yeah. The table.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The table, man.
Cause bro wanted the white table.
Yeah, we was on that table.
We had the shiny, gray, little shiny tile.
Yep.
I'm gonna be real. That's just a man's perspective, because I'll be honest. That nigga, that was what my first computer was on.
Yeah.
On fucking table. Mm-hmm. Right. I understood what a desk and what all this, the aesthetic of the room, bro, is everything.
Yeah.
It does. Time.
Man, I always wanted to make beats, bro. Like, I got GarageBand on my phone. Like, I've always tried. Ever since I was young and new, before, you know, that was my first thing I had on the computer, too, was little Fruity Loops. But I never could do it, bro.
Downloaded it, but I didn't.
It take patience, bro. But my uncle showed me. So, like, I was one of them little niggas that used to go and build all the Kinect little shits and just build a bunch of shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I could take a part of the computer and put it back together.
Yeah.
I was one of them niggas, but... Like, my uncle saw that type of shit in me. So, like, when I told him, like, after dude told me no, that's the first motherfucker I went to. I knew, because he been making music since I was little. This nigga's, like, 50, 55. And he was like, yeah, man, this is how you do it. What do you? He showed me how to make a melody. I said, oh, man, that shit look hard as hell. So I go and, shit, I take what he gave me, and I literally took it home, and I mimic what he did, and I'm like, hold on. Oh shit! All you gotta do is make these keys. The white notes stick with the white notes. The black notes stick with the black notes. Mm-hmm. Just pattern it until it sounds good to you. So I kept doing it. Like, I couldn't read music for a long time, bro.
Right.
Because I'm self-taught. I didn't go to school for none of that.
Right.
That's why I created the name Self-Made 808s. Because I learned myself, and then the 808 part is the producing, just in general.
Mm-hmm.
So with him teaching me that initially, I was like, "Fuck this shit! Like, it's an easier way." So I go on the internet, it's fucking loops. Loops became my best friend for a while.
Yeah.
And then I learned how to actually read music and make a beat from scratch with a piano.
What's loops?
Samples, like...
Okay, yeah.
Just motherfucking shit you can do with, like, Looper, man. They got shit.
Yeah.
You might have some producers out of the country that send you shit. I got producers send me shit all the time.
Mm. Yeah.
And I just tell them, like, this split is going to be 70-30, nigga. Like, that's because I'm putting it in a bigger market, though. And it's like... I'm gonna be able to sell this faster than what you are. So you're gonna get a cut, you're gonna get a percent, but it's not gonna be no 50-50 at this point, because I'm like, in reality, I'm putting in way more work than you.
Right.
So I gotta put down the ground, but I'm like, 70-30 is not bad for you just sending me a sample that I'm gonna have to split with you regardless. So out of this 50% that I would get from a label, you only getting 10% of that, 15% of that. That's an even split because I put more work into it.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of the business of a lot of the producing, bro. Like, you got to learn percentages and splits. Once you learn some shit like that, on the business side, you will kind of start understanding, like, what to do with how you want to sell, how much to sell it for, like, how to utilize your pricing points of how you did the loop, where you got it from. Or if it's straight up you, then it's all free game at that point. Like, you make as much money off of beats as you want, depending on how it's structured. So
yeah,
I can go into depth with this shit, bro. Like, so deep, bro. It's music shit crazy, but.
Do you sell more beats in the city or, like, out of the city?
It picked up in the city, but I sell more out of the city.
Yeah.
But that's more so because I don't have like the Louisville sound in a sense. Like I was telling him, like I got a song with the ski mic, and that's the closest I can get to the Louisville sound for me. But outside right. of that, nah, bro, I don't know. I don't have a sound.
Right.
Because
kind of do have
I never box myself in and right. like, I'm going to just make trap beats.
You do what feels.
Yeah, whatever I feel like. Yeah. I got my artist with me, Trapstar J3. He'll tell you, like, he sat in there and watched me just do some shit, and this nigga just made a full song as I'm making a beat.
Right. And that's the best. I think that's the best type of musical relationships to have is sitting down with somebody and they actually making the beat, and then the artist is actually creating the lyrics all at once. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why we always say Nas used to choose the weakest beats, but he had the best lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when he got with Hit-Boy 20 years later, it was like, damn, he can actually out-rap all these niggas and make good songs.
Would he get a Grammy from that?
You feel me? So yeah. It's like...
Did he?
No, I think...
He got rap album.
Yeah, yeah, I think they was close because they was dropping them back-to-back.
He got it. His first one after 20 years is what they said.
You feel me? So it's like... I feel like it's the best thing. And he also, Hit-Boy also threw shots at Kanye. He was like, man, I ain't gonna say no names, but he's like, this is right when Donda dropped. He was like, I ain't gonna say no names, but niggas be having mad writers and producers in the studio, 20 to 30 people. He was like, it's just me and this man. You feel me?
Yeah.
And
that was the Kanye?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Definitely. It was right at that time. He was like, and he was like, I ain't even trying to throw no shots, but it's like, come on now, look at the credits.
Yeah.
Look at Sicko Mode. Like 9 people on there.
It's like 10 people.
You feel what I'm saying?
He told me he had a reference track. They bought the reference track from
Yeah, they bought the reference track from Saha the Prince.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Saha the Prince. Saha is one of them niggas like, he's like us.
Uh-huh.
Like, fuck it. You gonna give me the bread? Cool. I ain't gonna say nothing.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna say nothing. If you really listen to a lot of Ye shit,
you can tell
at a certain timeline, Travis Scott and Saha the Prince. You feel me? But yeah, he drops them. He gonna get you paid. You know what I'm saying? That's like his best friend. Saha the Prince said, they asked him, they said, in the interview, they was like, man, it got to be a weird process making music with Ye. He's like, nah. He said, because where I come from, you can die from a disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Straight up. You can lose your life. He said, with Ye, he's just mad at you. He might not talk to you. You know what I'm saying?
It's all love at the end of the day.
It's all love. Yeah. You just got to, you know what I'm saying? So, but I do think those are the best relationships to have, bro. And me, I could never really get beats out of the city. Niggas like, man, I sent you a pack, man. Like, dang, it's all trap, though, bro. Like, I love, like, the West Coast sound. Like, you know what I'm saying? Dom Kennedy, before Larry June. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I like those type of sounds and shit like that. But a lot of people in the city is boxed in because that's all they trying to sell it to the nigga up the street.
It's
because
that's all they, like, this is what I learned, bro. And it's not even the producer's fault. It's more the rappers because it's all they want to rap about.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm a producer, bro, the only way I'm going to sell a beat, if I make a trap beat, that's it. But that's going to keep making me get income. That's all I'm going to make.
Definitely.
And it's hard to kind of break that box because once you consistently make trap beats, even your R&B beats is going to sound like a trap beat, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care who it is. And it's like, you have trap elements on everything and it's just making your music sound the same. So, like, every artist that he's working with all sound, they're rapping about the same shit already.
So, what you think about Future? What you think about Future and his...
Future might be top 3 most influential rappers ever, bro.
Facts, though.
And...
So who would you say is better, 50 Cent or Future?
Rapping, 50 Cent. As an artist, Future.
Future, yeah.
Because it's a difference.
Totally
it's a
difference. He just said because 50's my nigga.
About 50 hard, bro.
Yeah.
He can make club music. He can make lyrical music. Yeah. He can just
and he wrote some... And he wrote for people. Like he wrote, make this money. Take this money.
Yeah.
Ain't no way. You feel me? He was getting paid before we really knew who he was. But, like, I think Future is definitely top 3 influential. But it's like when it comes to his albums, it's like I like Lil Baby. But when I listen to a Lil Baby album, when I get to about song 4 or 5, it's kind of like listen to the same repetitive shit. Yeah. Now, he did have mean samples. Metro fucked that shit up. Like, he did that shit.
I say this, because I used to hate...
The production was nice.
I hated Future when he first came out. I can't stand this nigga, bro.
Me either. Me too. I didn't...
That's when I did really like Future. I like Future all the way. I like Future. People be getting it misconstrued when I be like, man, it ain't it. Like, because I like lyrics.
When you say first came out, what time are
I'm
we
talking about Magic and the that shit. I couldn't stand that 2012 shit. when he came out with Beast Mode and it had Real Sisters, then 56 Nights, I said, okay, he
56 Nights was stupid.
Then he dropped some shit I really didn't
Pepper
like.
Rain.
That shit with Drake I didn't really like.
Yeah, I didn't
really. But Time to Be Alive was okay, but I didn't like it. Then this motherfucker come and dropped The Wizard. I said, oh, yeah, it's my favorite rapper.
Bro. Yeah.
Because The Wizard was different. It gave me an album. Like, The Wizard is my, like, if I take a flight, I listen to that whole thing, the whole flight. Mm-hmm. I don't change nothing. The Wizard's own from start to finish.
Right.
Because he gave me everything. So then he comes in, what's his last album with Tim's and Drake's on it?
Oh, you talking about that, we don't trust I Never you. Liked You.
Yeah, I Never Liked You. Not the album that just dropped.
Yeah.
His last three or his four albums, bro, I can listen to all day.
Yeah.
Now, some of that shit before, I'm picky.
Yeah.
But as far as just his musical influence, shit, Future got more number ones than half the niggas we like.
Facts.
And it's mainly because of, one, he's consistent.
Definitely.
But two, he got a distinct sound that you know a motherfucker's copying. Like, I hated Designer when he came out because he copied Future.
Yeah.
He did. Definitely. I thought it was Future.
There wasn't no way around that. My
New York took a hell right there. New York rap.
They did. It was a hit, but it just sounded like Future.
It did. Yeah.
And everything.
But it's the influence. But yeah. While we got a little time, definitely go like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, man. We plugged everywhere. Apple Music, Instagram, Spotify, everything. Big and Lazy Podcast. And also go follow our producer, Confirm Podcast on IG. He, you know what I'm saying? He'll hook you up.
The greatest producer in the world.
I'm gonna lie, nigga, his cold. His sound is cold.
You feel me? Then he
professional.
Yeah.
Confirm Podcast. It's the network. It's the fucking journey, man. Yeah. So, but I was gonna just say this. I fuck with Future. I fuck with all of them rappers that came out the South.
Yeah.
I just think that like certain artists got that fan base to where it's just they got to keep pushing that same, because I feel like every time I listen to Future, I feel like he's saying the same shit.
So I would agree
he's
with
putting
you
it on a different
this.
Song.
I agree with you on this. He does have a core fan base to where he can drop anything they gonna fuck with it.
Yeah,
sometimes. Because Future, you go look at his Rolling Loud last year.
Yeah,
the crowd. He was doing a song that from what's that dude? I think I gotta look it up. He was doing a song that niggas just didn't fuck with, bro. The crowd was just standing. You got 20,000 people just standing there just fucking looking at you.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
Future.
Then you bring out Dirk and then everybody goes crazy and then the rest of your show. Like, he got songs that he know he should not fucking perform.
It's like Rod Wave. Like, I fuck with Rod Wave. Yeah. But it's like,
I used to.
It's the same.
I don't like it.
It's the same thing. But his core fans, if he change it up, they'd be like, man, what is this? We want the pain.
It's like the Youngboy fans.
Yeah.
Some fans just ain't going nowhere, bro. Like,
yeah.
I'm not a, yeah. I think Youngboy is, he's not as good as he used to be, bro. Because it's the same, bro. He makes the same song over and over.
Yeah.
And the kid's like, oh, he's
at
hard.
Dark, fucking, he ain't never happy. Where's the happy song at?
Yeah.
But you don't fuck with the Rod Wave crap, baby. Like, I didn't, bro. I just shed so many tears. Like, at first, ghetto gospel, bro. Like, nigga, I get drunk and just be turning that shit on. I don't know why I did it to myself and just be driving and crying and shit. I'm like,
bro. So this is where I, like, cross between that. Like, it's two different artists in a same genre, but I'd rather listen to Mozzie's Pain than Rod Wave's. Because Mozzie's Pain, it sits with me.
Yeah.
Rod Wave is some emotional,
I love the way you
crybaby shit, bro. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, like, all right, nigga, like, I say this. A couple Sundays ago, my little brother Kush Money, he got killed at White Castles.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Feel me?
R.I.P. Sorry,
your loss. Right here, man. Bro, I've been around this little nigga since he was fucking 9 years old, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to him every day. First artist that I'm listening to on that type of day is Mozzie, bro. Mm-hmm. I can't relate to nothing else.
Yeah.
Feel me? He's giving me the real, like, I can understand this nigga from each and every song, bro. So to me, like, I'm just like, I can listen to Mozzie in this occasion. I can't go listen to Rod Wave. Rod Wave gonna make me cry and curl up in the bed somewhere. Mozzie's gonna make me sit here and be like, nigga, we had good times, but shit, it's life, bro. It just hits. You feel me? Life hits you.
Right.
It do. The most unexpected time.
I ain't gonna say change subject. I'm gonna give you a little hypothetical. If you could race, so you got the West Coast, you got the South, you got the Midwest, and you got the East Coast. If you could erase one of those, if you had to, rather, erase one of those out of music, period, one, who would it be? Like, who?
Fuck, it's hard.
I think that's the hardest question we ever asked.
I say this. if I could erase it, so Louisville.
If you had to.
Louisville's not considered a Midwest, so we're going to take it out of there. I'm taking the Midwest out. Even though I got Nelly, I might got the Detroit artist. But
is Chicago like Midwest?
Yeah,
Chicago's Midwest. And this is, so I'm deleting that, but you got to understand, the best rap has came from the South,
yeah,
the East Coast, and the West Coast. The best sound has came from, nigga, my favorite album of all time is fucking Webby Savage Life 2. Yeah.
What was he, 20? Yeah,
the first one, and 2.
Webby Savage Life 2. Yeah. It's probably that's my number one album of all time.
Really?
Ooh. Nigga, and I promise you, Brad, it's because I can listen to it.
All the way through.
Yeah.
Birdman had his best verse on A Miracle.
Yeah. Like, Webby was preaching in that album, bro. Yeah, like,
he was.
I'm like, niggas looking at me like, what? I said, bro, listen to the album top to bottom and tell me
what
you
got
to skip.
I always say my favorite albums consist, I got Boosie in there, but Webby. I feel like if they would have put more money behind the Savage Life 1, Savage Life 1, to me, is probably the best album that ever came out of the South. I mean, Louisiana. I'm going to say Louisiana.
Mm, I don't know.
I think that's
Carter
the best
3.
One. The Carter 3 was
Carter
awesome. 3?
Over Carter 1?
The Carter 3. Carter 3 what?
Day, bro.
Hell yeah. Carter 3, bro. The Carter 3 over the 1 and 2. I mean, I like 2. The intro was
like
crazy
2,
on 2.
Yeah.
I think The Mob is one of the greatest intros of all time.
Yeah.
Cash Money, Young Money, motherfucker. It's like he was shedding, he was going into his own. But at first, Webby did not miss every song. He had about 3-4 singles.
He did
Bad
miss
Bitch.
On there, but he had 12 singles on Savage Life 2.
He did. He did. He had
I'm
6 missing
12s,
you.
Just Missing You, Independent. Yeah. Right. He had about 12 hits on that album. Yeah.
I don't know. I keep hearing it in my head, like, how you rhyme? Man, that first
how
one.
You rhyme, but yeah, how you rhyme was. The first one does.
Do it big if you're going to do it. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to get that gas, go to Circle K. You feel me? That first one was so gutter. And I just feel like if they would have put more money behind that album, then it really would have. Because I think he had more than 3-4 number ones on there. A lot of them songs could have been number one.
So them songs grew on us, but initially Savage Life 2 kind of just came out and it was that.
Oh, yeah. I ain't going to lie. I remember that whole thing about it. My little brother had a canteen, like a Diego canteen CD player. But it looked like a
Door to Explore.
Yeah.
Really?
Man, my little brother had all the, he was probably like 5. He had all the nice little shit.
That's cool.
And I had got the CD. And I took that bitch to school. The headphones and everything. I walked through school listening to Savage Life 2.
Yeah, so 612s will always bust my ear drum.
Yeah, that motherfucker.
What I'm listening to it is.
But I feel like too, the only difference between Boosie and Webby is Boosie adapted to the internet. Like Webby's like, you feel me?
Boosie adapted to the industry, let's say that. More so than Webby. Because Webby's still unapologetic and authentic. Boosie is too. But Webby's not apologizing to nobody.
Yeah.
Boosie has been on occasion to apologize.
So as a rap group, where you rank them?
Rank them? Probably 5.
As a group?
Probably
tell me the whole Savage Life or just Boosie and Webby?
Just Boosie and Webby together.
I mean, I take the whole Trill Fam.
The whole Trill Fam was together, crazy. Yeah.
That's kind of hard.
Because, I mean, Fox was one of the best ones.
Yeah.
He just don't get that recognition because...
Because he wrote a lot of shit, too.
Yeah.
Fox, he wrote a lot of them hooks.
Fat.
One of the best ones. The only one I really kind of didn't care that much for is what's his name?
Latrill.
That's because he recited a lot of the same lyrics.
Yeah, he did. It, like Lil Fat, the 3D.
Big Head.
Big Head was the truth.
Yeah. They had some quality niggas there. They was still like, nigga, hood is a motherfucker.
Yeah. What about 3-6?
Mafia?
Top 3, bro.
Yeah. I said that on Facebook,
I take them top 3, but my 1 and 2 is NWA and Wu-Tang. So
there you go.
My first CD I ever had was Straight Outta Compton.
Really?
Yeah. I swear to God, bro, I was like 6, bro. Walking around the projects listening to this shit, bro. So my mama took it from me. Man, I knew where she hid that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Went under her mattress and got my damn CD back. My dumb ass replaced it with another CD. So she called me again, but shit, she eventually just let me have the album, bro. It's like, I'm not going to stop listening to it, bro.
That's what my mama did with the first Savage Life. She kept hearing like that. You feel me?
Yeah.
She was like, I don't want to hear that shit. Turn it down. And I was like, cool. So one day, it was early getting home from school. You feel me? Like, I was feeling good, shirt off. Man, that shit banging. She came in there, took the CD out the CD player, never seen it again.
Told you I don't want her this shit, nigga.
Never seen it again.
So, who was your favorite artist to work with? Like, out of all time, like, who was your favorite
My favorite?
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big. I'm B Fines. And we're excited to announce our collaboration with Flur. Together, we are offering a brand new course specifically designed for musicians and artists just like you. This course is packed with viable insight, practical tips to help you grow and succeed in your creative endeavors. And if you use, I'm not going to lie to you, if you use our link to purchase this program, we get a little kickback. So I need you to go check, and the link's going to be in the description, in the comments. Go check that out. Flur, Big and Lazy, together, putting Louisville on the map.
It's a bunch of them, though. It's a bunch. It might be 22nd Unk just because it's funny all the time, bro.
He's hilarious, man.
Dude is, but he's not even trying to be, bro. That's the crazy part.
He's really just being himself.
Bro, that shit is wild. He's probably the most funnest artist I work with. And we get a lot of work done, too, though. Yeah. So it don't be a lot of bullshit. And plus, bro's determined, though.
Yeah.
Like, he a nigga that just, like, on some, if I can make 80,000 to 100,000 year old music, I'm good.
Yeah.
Fuck all that other shit. Like, I'm cool. So we didn't have plenty of conversations about it. And it's like, it ain't about blowing up and being billionaires, because that shit ain't going to last that long.
Right.
You do one thing, that shit gone.
I mean, if you don't produce.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's a wrap.
So basically what me and him do, bro, we just kind of, we meet up. Well, I got a song. All right, cool. Let's knock it out. Like, knock some shit out. Nigga get done with his song. About 30 minutes. We laughing for the next 30 minutes, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, literally. So, like, having this nigga met, it's crazy because I knew him back in the day.
Yeah.
But he was on some bullshit. Like, I used to fuck with his cousin Miracle. And, like, when the Earthquake Project got tore down, like, most of us moved on St. Louis. And a lot of people from Earthquake went to school with Carithas, with everybody from 22nd. So, a lot of niggas already kind of knew each other from that. So, with Unk, like, he this nigga was so fucked up, bro. He didn't really remember who I was. Like, probably even to them. But he know my mama. Right. He know my brothers. But he just didn't remember me. So, I'm like, damn, that's crazy. But I hit this nigga up because I'm like, bro, this nigga looked for me. I couldn't remember where I knew him from because me and my nigga Zug had a project and we was working on, we threw a couple of skits on her. So, like, all right, cool, food. So I hit him up. I was like, hey, bro, we took some of your skits. We put it on the project. We're going to give you your credit. See, if we get paid, you get paid.
Right.
He was like, cool. All right, whatever. So then, like, probably like 8 months later, this is like August of last year. And I was like, hey, nigga, what you got going? He was like, hey, you got a studio for real? I was like, yeah, nigga, pull up. What you mean? Do I got a studio? For real. Nigga, I'm on live every day. Yeah. He's like, all right, I'm on my way. So he's like, I'm outside, bro. I don't know where I'm at. So I go outside. This nigga rode up here on a bike. Then stole the bike and rode to the studio, bro. I'm like, where the fuck did you get this shit? I picked the motherfucker up, nigga. Shit, whatever.
Yeah.
So he get in there. Nigga make his first song. It's first song, bro. He just, that if you hear every song, that motherfucker say, I'm in the real booth. That's crazy. I was recording that. And I was like, bro, I might just keep this shit. I record it. Put it on there. He like, that shit's hard. Keep it on there. So I was like,
he kept saying, I'm in a real booth.
He said, he walked in there. I was recording. I'm thinking he's about to go ahead and go in. He's like, man, I'm in a real booth. That's crazy. Literally, I just kept it on there. And I scooted it down on accident and pressed play. And it played. And this nigga was like, hell yeah, keep it on there. I was like, all right. Yeah. Mind you, this nigga had like 5,000 followers at this time. He wasn't really blowing up and none of that shit. So then he was like, all right, I ain't even charging. I was like, fuck it, nigga. Like, you feel me? You cool people. You funny. Plus, I already know you.
Yeah.
So he was like, all right, cool. So he hit me again, like, hey, shit, you at the store? I said, yeah, nigga, pull up. Like, pull up. Nigga pulled up, did another song. Then we did a third song we did. It was, we redid Shook Them Haters Off by Gucci. I'm the type of guy, eat ass, watch your period. That's what the fuck this nigga
said.
That song went viral. Yeah. Ever since we made that song, his following went from 5,000 to 27,000.
That's one of my favorite Gucci songs, too.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It jumped up in 4 months.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, it's unintentional. So the nigga told me, he was like, bro, you should make him do skits. I said, for what? Skits didn't give him nothing, bro. Yeah. Music gave him life, bro.
Right.
Like, I let him tell y'all, I'm gonna get him on here. I'm gonna let him tell y'all that, like, music actually gives him life, bro. He don't want to do nothing but music.
Yeah.
Feel me? Nigga,
he was doing skits at first, though, wasn't he?
we can call him skits, but he just bullshit on the internet, bro. Okay, he don't even
just on there talking.
Yeah, just on there just being him.
Yeah.
So like we basically came up with a formula. We applied the funny to music because he tried to do the serious route, and I was like, bro, don't do that, bro. There's too many niggas I heard trying to be a serious rapper.
Remember I said it the other day. I said I think I took it too serious. I think I just took it too serious.
Yeah.
And we funny. You feel me? I'm a funny guy. You feel me? I grew up making everybody laugh, but it was like, Ludacris never missed. Let's be real. He ain't never missed.
And he was funny, man.
Maybe Runaway
lyrical.
Love.
Yeah.
But we, you know, but there's people still like that. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, he incorporated all of that to his videos. Busta. Busta's a funny ass nigga,
they
too.
They can rap his motherfucking ass off, bro.
Yeah.
Him as two niggas, if I throw in front of you and you a rapper, you're not going to keep up with them niggas. I don't give a fuck how funny they are. But that's how I kind of view Unk, though. He's one of them niggas that. He's rapping. He's dead serious, bro. Niggas think he's bullshit. No, he's dead serious.
Yeah.
It's just he's funny. But everybody see him as the funny nigga. Like the kids that he see where he live at, all they be like, that's the Perky Man. That's the first thing he said, the Perky Man. Like, hey. All right, so he put up, he like, man, call him on FaceTime with him. He like, man, them fuck kids just called me the Perky Man. And nigga put up, I said, hey, Perky Man, what we doing today? Put out a song, whatever, whatever. So this particular day, he was like, we gonna do, I got this song called Eat or Die. It's a Jeezy beat. I was like, all right. I said, eat a pussy on the first, then again on the fifth. Then I go back, eat again on the sixth. I said, bro, you a freaky ass.
Yeah.
I said, you are tripping, bro. So then he goes and he does the Perky song. Perky, Perky, Deshanti, what's your name?
Yeah.
I tell him straight up, I said, that's a hit. I ain't going to lie to you. I said, it's a hit, bro. I ain't going to lie to you, bro. That song right there, that's a hit. He's like,
you
fuck that song.
You know what's crazy? I always thought when I heard them song, I'm like, man, this shit sound good, though. Like, like it's well produced.
It's a song.
It's
a song. Like, and I was like, eat or die, you rapping your head off, bro. But I'm like, Perky's is a song. That's an artist, bro. It's a song. It's a different. He's like, hell no. Nah. So I've been doing like artist events. And the shit I call, it's called Who Run It.
Yeah.
So I have artists sign up. It's $100 to sign up, but the cash prize is $1,000.
Yeah.
You win, you get $1,000. You get a project produced by me and five other producers. You get a photo shoot and also a couple interviews. So I'm like, all right, bro, like, you going to perform this at the next Who Run It. Bro, he performed that. I promise you, it was, I think we had about 200 people there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the time when he performed, it was about 125. Bro, the whole crowd, niggas beefing in there. Perky, 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 Perky. Everybody.
It's that time, too.
I promise you. And they just, T-Baby, my DJ T-Baby, he mutes the beat. And all you hear is everybody in there, Perky. Like, I said, dog, this is, he said, yeah, that's a hit. I said, nigga, I told you 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I told you that. I said, bro, this is a, I know with, bro, it's a hit, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It's catchy, but it's relatable to niggas. I said, bro, you dropped a snippet and you got niggas under the unk. I feel you. I understand. I said, bro, them niggas is dead serious, bro.
Yeah. Right.
Like, these niggas do perk. I said, crazy thing, you don't even fucking do drugs. You sober as hell. You work 7 days a week, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And niggas think you homeless bum nigga.
Mm-hmm.
They think you are old as fuck. And
I swear I thought he was like 42. I like, I just.
Bro, same, bro, 32, bro. Niggas think he's 50.
What?
For real. But all in all, that's a real nigga though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like straight up, like y'all meet him, y'all see, he a real nigga, bro. He hood nigga, but he a real nigga. They know. But,
you know, that's just where we come from.
Nah, facts. And then he's on some like, how can we support each other? And he's going to each artist that I brought him around.
Right.
And the group that I'm starting, a creative artist, bro,
he's
doing the same thing. I said, bro, you got millions of views and motherfuckers following you on a regular.
Right.
I said, I told him yesterday, we had a little meeting. I said, it's the nigga that you would think would be the cockiest nigga in the room, but he's not.
Right.
It's the most humblest nigga in the room. And a lot of y'all, bro, just y'all need to check your attitudes at the door when it comes to music, bro.
Nah, facts.
Because if this nigga has 7, 8, 9 videos with 1 million views on them, y'all niggas ain't got 1 million views with all y'all's combined. What the fuck is your attitude for?
Yeah.
Where's your egos? And you know what I mean?
And he's been like it since day one, since he only had 10,000 on
it. It's always what motherfuckers don't understand.
See, he got a couple
too.
Videos with 1 million on them?
He got about.
You talking about Instagram reels?
Instagram,
like,
it's an Instagram video. So it's like, I think it's like 7 of them. But then he got like 40 something, 43 of them with 100,000 at least. So he's been viral over and over.
Yeah.
And he's like, that shit ain't making me no money like that. Like, we can't monetize nothing because this nigga's so fucking vulgar.
Yeah. Right.
That's why you go in his comments, you just say, like, they're calling the female sexy, I mean, the male sexy red. Because he's just bold. And I'm just like, I mean, in a sense, I take it as a compliment. That's the biggest artist in the world right now.
Yeah.
Like, she's the biggest female artist, but she's getting up there with, like, And like, because of Drake, it's just carrying along. It's just hell making yeah. her a bigger artist. So
yeah. I'm like, I you being sexy red.
Fact, she's hard. Motherfucker said she's an industry plant, but no, I think she's just authentic.
Yeah.
I was wondering to think she's a plant. Like,
I can't. The reason I won't say that is because she's so authentic, bro. Yeah. She does not care with nobody.
And she ain't did nothing. To me, I don't think she's a plant because she ain't did nothing to.
She did no gimmicks.
Hold on.
The female that. Hey. I think she is. Yeah. Like, I love the underdog, the down to earth. Mm-hmm. Motherfucker, I feel like I could sit with and be like, damn, this mom, she's funny as fuck. You know, she's at Dino's. Give me 20 on yeah. pump, a black and a Rello.
Yeah.
Sexy red.
When she was on the jail, barefoot pregnant dancing in jail saying, free my bed, like, I think that record was something like
Fuck My Baby. Yeah. Because then it turned around to another song. Yeah. I Love My Baby Daddy, basically.
But it was real, though.
But it was real. You know what I'm saying?
When she was on Funny Marco and that nigga called, and he was like, was that, you know, one of your baby daddies? She's like, yeah, it's my other one.
That's the first.
She was like, I gotta go, baby daddy. I gotta go. I'm sorry. Like, yeah. I'm on an interview. You feel me? That's what I like about her. You feel me? I don't like Moneybagg Yo as an artist, but every time he talks, I'd be like, damn, I like that nigga.
That's the first time
I just don't
I heard
really
that.
Like his music. I don't
care for his music. It seemed like he just.
And then dude was like, hey, man, in the comments, he was like, you got any extra clothes? And the nigga was like, I do.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you some. And dude was like, he sent them like thousands of dollars worth of clothes. I like that. But I just don't like the, like you said, a gimmick. I feel like he gimmicks rap, but he ain't a gimmick. Like, I feel like when I listen to Moneybagg, it's like I'm scrolling down and I'm reading memes. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's, like, people, he's like Rolla
Rodriguez. He's a trendsetter too, yeah. though. Like, but you know what I know where I think he gets his juice from? Gotti did that. You disqualified. Yeah. I can hear
it's bro doing but that's that. How you mold your artist.
Definitely though. Definitely
that's,
though.
That's teamwork right there.
I really just now got it.
Yes,
yeah, I got how he do how he does like, his thing.
It's Moneybagg one of my favorite rappers too though.
Yeah,
I can just listen to him, but it's a lot of shit I'm just not gonna listen to though from him.
But I can tell that you probably do because you're a producer.
Yeah,
I feel like he's very well produced.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? His shit's for the, you in the club, no matter what, I fuck with whatever comes on in the club. You feel me? Especially if it's a good DJ back there.
Yo.
Moneybagg, come on, that shit smacks
it's
in the club.
Every time. They know what to play.
But feel what I'm saying?
I say this, like, as a producer, I had to break this saying niggas music suck.
Yeah.
I had to break it because I just be like, man, this shit's whack, bro. But now I had to understand, like, nah, this nigga's coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
So I started taking myself and trying to put myself in artist's shoes. There might be two artists that I just be like, that shit ain't it. But for the most part, most artists that I work with, I understand them first to see where they coming from.
Oh, yeah.
That way it makes it easier for me to sit here and like, okay, now we can create. We can work together. Yeah. It makes it 10 times easier versus me initially hearing it. I'm like, nah, because at some point, this is kind of my fault too.
Right.
I'm not helping you.
Right. Telling me this shit's whack, huh?
Ain't no guidance, bro. Like, and that's the problem with a lot of people. They don't get no guidance, which comes in with their gatekeeping shit.
Mm-hmm.
Niggas can guide you right to it, but won't do it. Like, they'll just do it for the money. Like, niggas will tell you, like, nigga, if you ain't got it today, you want a free session, I might look out for you today.
Yeah.
That's just because, like, I fuck with you. You've been supporting me at the end of the day. Like, nigga, if you...
And like you said, you see where they come from. Like, that's why we like Boosie and Gucci. We It's coming from a place and a real place. So,
like Mozzie, like I said, that's one nigga, bro. Like,
I wish Mozzie would drop more, but you know, he's like us too. He got that bread, he got them businesses and them kids.
What can you do besides music?
Right.
And like, I swear we had a meeting about this yesterday too. Like, cause I'm putting together, like, in a sense, a label, but it's also like a artist group of support. And my biggest thing with it is coming up with stuff we can do besides rap. Like, Unk's favorite line to that. Was what we gonna do with rap if rap don't work?
Right.
What you gonna do? So we coming up with ideas of creating other businesses, like where we can all work with each other. Cause I'm like, at the end of the day, this shit ain't gotta be just because of music. This shit can be because we fuck with each other.
Yeah.
So like, I'm giving y'all all my resources and my gems. I'm just want y'all to buy in, cause we buy into a system, nigga. Ain't no reason none of us do nothing better than what we doing now, musically, financially, any type of way. So I'm like, we got motherfucking 12 motherfuckers in the meeting.
Yeah,
if every one of us lock in, bro, I promise you, bro, like, it'll look different for everybody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
like I say all the time, it's okay to, and like, I ain't gonna say to quote Gilly and Wallow, but it's okay to be the water boy on the winning team.
Yeah,
it's okay to be the backup center on a championship team instead of the star player. You dropping 30, but nigga, your team only won two games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Y'all the worst team in the league, but it's all right. Let me drop 6 points. These niggas are winning championships in the playoffs every year. You know what I mean?
I watched the podcast with J.J. Redick. He was on it with Carmelo.
Yeah, I like it.
And
you talking about him and LeBron's podcast?
Nah, he was on Carmelo's podcast, Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, I seen that.
And his thing was, he was like, they asked him, if you can take prime J.J. Redick and put him on any team, who would you do? He said the Nuggets at first, then let's win it. But then he was like, nah, put me on Boston. That's a winning culture. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. I'll take the back seat. I'll take 20 minutes a game and shoot as many shots as possible because I'm a shooter.
Who said this?
J.J. Redick.
Said it. Asked this to Carmelo?
No, they asked J.J. Redick.
Oh, okay.
Take J.J. Redick and put him on what team? And he said Boston. Hell, I can take back. And that's what they missing. They missing just shooting, like more shooting. Mm-hmm. He's like, I can take the back seat. We're going to win everything.
Yeah.
I looked and kind of thought, I looked at the roster, I said, yeah, they probably win a lot of shit.
Yeah.
J.J. Redick shooted.
Definitely would have two-peated.
They would have had, they would probably
have. Are you talking about this year's Boston team?
Last year and this year, since Joe Mazzulla took over.
Okay.
So he's like, I'm like, damn, they probably would have, they probably won back to back. Maybe.
Yeah. They need somebody off that bench that
to be like that.
That's my team, but it's completely right.
He averaged 18 a game.
Yeah.
And he's like, in my prime, I'll take a back seat to win.
And it's all shots.
Yeah. Because I told him earlier, like, I'm a hooper first. It's the first thing everybody know me for basketball, bro. So I'm like, I'm able to take a hooping aspect and put it to music.
Yeah.
Because you can't win without no team, bro. It's just not happening.
What's your career high on the hoop? What's your highlights in the hoop?
I think my high school career high was like 28 against Dawes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then.
So you graduated in 11?
Yeah, I graduated in 11.
Okay.
Yeah. I did like a half a year at college at Southern State, but.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was cool, though. I just was too far from home. I ain't know no better.
Yeah.
So
that's how it is in the
beginning. You on Scully?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Man. I had a good coach, bro. Like, mm-hmm. My coach was good. Like, he taught me discipline. Like, I was a young, wild-ass nigga, bro. I heard taking shit. Like, me and my cousin taking shit, bro.
Mm-hmm.
But he put it to me like, you keep doing this shit, bro. He's a white dude, too. What's going to happen to you, not going to like.
Yeah.
And he's like, he had pointed out to me because, like, my daddy fucking doing 82 years at this time. He just got sentenced.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, he's like, we and him had a talk. Like, man, I was fucked up because I'm like, nigga, I'm not about to ever see my daddy again.
Yeah.
He's serving. He started an 82-year sentence in my senior year in high school.
Yeah.
So.
Where did he get hit with?
Indiana. Just a bunch of backed up charges.
Yeah.
So he was actually riding with his homie and he was taking him to go report. This fool had all kind of shit in his trunk. They got pulled over. Talking about dude was like, nah, it's my stuff. It ain't got nothing to do with him. I'm just taking him to report. Convicted felon. Mm-hmm. Indiana's not hearing shit.
Right.
Hit him with all of those, everything that was in the trunk. And there was some dope, some heroin, and some meth.
Mm-hmm.
Then turned around and they hit him with everything he had on the shelf.
Damn. Oh, wow.
So he's sitting. I mean, he's trying to get out. He got some classes and shit, but I don't know how, you know, they changed some laws. So that 82 turned into 56.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then he already served 10, so that's down to 40-something. Well, he's served 13 now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's down to damn near 30 something. So I'm like,
how you can give a nigga all that time, man?
For nothing, like, bro. Like, a motherfucker trying to do right. The nigga took the responsibility for it.
Yeah.
And still, he got hit with everything. So I'm like,
you might as well go on a killing spree. You're going to get less time.
Right.
For real. So I sat and I was just like, that nigga right. Like, my coach, he right.
Yeah.
So I straightened up and got my shit together. Like, I was always a good kid. Like, I'm straight A student, 4.0 and everything. I just like doing dumb shit. So he kind of just, like I said, he set me down. He's like, bro, you gonna mess up school. So I went and tried it. I didn't like that shit, bro.
Yeah.
It was I loved, like, that I got disciplined out of high school and in college. This shit was worse.
Mm-hmm.
So then I come back home and I start throwing parties, bro.
Yeah.
Turned up ET was my shit, that was my crew that I put together.
How was that?
Shit was fun. We was making so much money and blowing that shit, it makes sense.
Really?
Like, we was just blowing money, bro. Like, we started out doing house parties, just some cool shit.
Yeah.
That shit was fun. Like, no drama, no bullshit, no shooting until, like, 6-7 months later. But as time is going on, I kind of stepped away from that party stuff because, like, real people around me started dying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, damn, it's like city getting fucked up. Like,
off the parties type shit?
Just in general.
Mm-hmm.
People coming. people start shooting at the parties because niggas don't like niggas. Niggas is just showing up just because, just to be on bullshit. I'm just like, bro, that shit ain't for me.
That's how it is in nowadays, too.
Yeah. And this is 2015, 2016, I had my first son.
You know what I noticed, though?
Yeah.
About the city. Every time I leave the city, man, it be some wonderful events. Atlanta, Vegas, Chicago. I be in some nice events. And I feel like that, like, Louisville, you know what I'm saying? I feel like we always feel like we got something to prove, and it's we be trying to prove it to each other when it's the same feeling that everybody have. Like, a lot of people feel stuck here. And I be like, man, why you feel stuck? Especially the homies that ain't got no kids and shit like that. I'm like, man, you can literally go live where you want and adapt to whatever's out there. And I didn't even see it when I was young, because I used to be like, man, I want to go Full Sail on campus. I don't want to go Full Sail online. And you know what I'm saying? Because I never thought about really going to college. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But that's what I tell all the young is like, bro, go away, bro. Like, get out of Kentucky, because it's just, you never going to see how good you can have it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Unless you go travel and see that, damn, young niggas in Atlanta, nigga, I pulled up in something, a rental, he pulled up in something stupid, like, and it was his.
It was his, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, up there, they ain't hating on each other because everybody, it's equal opportunity. But it's like, here, it's like, people act like they ain't got that drive just because you in the city. Like, then get the fuck up out of the city.
It make you hustle different when you see it, though.
It do. It do.
Like, I've seen more support to me outside of Louisville.
Yeah.
But I came to the realization, bro, Louisville's probably the hardest place to please, bro.
Yeah.
Like, they don't like their own, nigga. What makes you think they're gonna like anybody from outside for the most part? Man, it's very hard to please, bro. And
ain't no win with them, man.
I make beats. Well, my cousin make beats. He's better.
It ain't about that.
I got a cousin over here that rap. He's better, my homie. But if we learn how to come together in the city, like I always say, the city don't have a Static gone. Static probably one of the main niggas that could have came home and really put
and jailed a, it. Made it like jail people together.
You feel me? And make a real label. If you in Texas, you don't have to leave Texas. Nope.
California,
shit.
You don't got to leave.
Nope. You know, Atlanta, it's some niggas we don't know about in Atlanta that's getting money off the rap, producing, all that. But it's like the competition's different. It's like I'm gonna do a whole mixtape with Cuz and let the people decide.
Is it? Yeah. Is it true that the rapper is the last person to get paid?
Yeah,
definitely. It is.
So think about this. When I record somebody, so like, all right, so I'll use Ski Mike for example. So Ski Mike comes in, if I record him, he pays me there. I send an invoice to Sony, they pay me. So we got that out the way. He ain't getting paid for music yet, I already got paid twice.
Yeah.
Then we go do our splits. I get paid my 50% publishing, my royalty. And then my events for the beat, he still ain't got paid yet.
Yeah.
So I've been paid five times. And he ain't got paid yet. The label ain't even paid yet.
Yeah.
So the label, once he starts to make his money, the label takes their cut first and then give him his percentage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only way they can split it. But as a rapper, yes, you're going to get paid less.
So what would you say is more, would you suggest for artists up and coming, being staying independent or trying to get signed?
Get signed.
That's what I said, man. Like,
I ain't gonna turn down no money.
It's just what people don't
unless
understand.
It's coming from Diddy.
No Diddy, man.
No Diddy, man. No Diddy.
I'll say this: once people understand, bro, that you don't really get fucked over in your contract because it's an agreement, bro.
Yeah,
that's what you agree to.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't make you sign this. This is the agreement. We can negotiate all day.
Yeah,
but you agreeing until the terms are right for both of y'all.
Facts.
Now, if they be like, "Oh, this is it. Sign this, or else it's over." In a sense, I mean, that's a gun to your head, but it's like, I'm going to sign this because they about to put me in front of people because they have to. If they don't, they're not going to make their money back.
Like Thug said, I came in with a plan. I signed the most fucked up deal, but I had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's all about your plan and working your plan, because who signs? Everybody can't sign a 50 Cent home run deal.
21 Savage has the best deal in the industry.
You know what I'm saying?
Why you say that?
He got a 90-10.
Really?
He started off with a 90-10.
He started his first album.
But you know who
first
started that? You know who started the 90-10?
Who?
P.
Yeah, P, yeah.
And Master P started the 90-10.
How you negotiate? That's a hell of a...
Because he was independent and making noise. He had millions of views initially.
Uh-huh.
So he at got 10% to go in just for...
So his 10% is distribution.
Yeah.
Like, they're distributing his music. They have to promote this nigga. If not, they 10% is I mean, it's going to be light, but if they put money behind that 10% on the back end, they're going to get a lot more money than what that 10% entails. So
definitely,
you got to really think about it, bro. Like, some of these deals, they can structurally be fucked up, but you got to understand, they're going to put you in front of people in places that you've never met, yeah. like that you never thought you would see. I told you, like, my favorite contact that I have is Lil Jeremy, bro. He responds to me. He talks to me, bro. Like, I send Lil Jeremy from Houston, bro. Like, a lot of people don't know who it is. That nigga hard, bro. But he respond to me, bro. Like,
yeah.
Just like, I shit, bro. Just send him through. Yeah. I send him a beat pack. Send it straight through to him.
He's a rapper?
Yeah.
One person.
Yeah, he got a song with Future, Moneybag, Yo, ESTG. He got a song with some years. Lil Jeremy's hard.
One thing I've seen, though, that's the support you get. Even as when I was, I still be rapping, but when I was going up on Instagram, it was everybody out of the city.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? One person that always responds to is Sauce Walker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who he got on his Instagram.
It's the Texas niggas, bro. They understand it's still a grind, but to them, they ain't made it.
He'd be like, no problem. I'm doing hooks for $1,000 a day. Come on right now.
Because he ain't ducking the money.
Yeah.
You got to think, Sauce Walker, like, he got an interview out, bro. He's like, bro, he makes, like, think, like, $8 million off of music before his own music. Because he signed a bunch of artists.
Yeah.
And they all start bubbling.
Yeah.
They pay him as a label, and they get their cuts. But he run that shit off of DistroKid.
Yeah, the Korean cat.
His money.
What's a DistroKid for the people that...
Like third myself. Party distribution site. So I'll go into some details about some shit like that. Well, about that in a second.
Yeah.
Like, properly dropping songs, because people are sleep on this stuff. But I'll give some gems. But he started a label on DistroKid, and what that does, bro, like, it generates money. It tells each artist what they've made, how much they've made this period of time, what they should get. Basically, he'll break down what he get paid. What they get paid, what the label pays, is to break up a percentage and cut them a check on its own. And then he gets the check that sits in the company's pretty much, well, in the label's bank on the site. So he's making more money off of their music than his own. Brian never got a rap because he got the right people.
Yeah.
He got the right artists. He put them to where the marketing behind it, bro, it's all off of him. He's a marketing strategy himself. But they never have to leave Texas because Texas is so big. And the way it's set up, as long as motherfuckers is listening to that music, it's a rap. Big X the Plug never has to leave Texas, bro.
And he was one that was responding early, too. I put people on Big X Facebook, bro, because he was responding to me. Like, I would repost them the Safe House song that Dennis Rodman, Feeling Like Dennis. When he dropped that, I'm like, hey, this is the next nigga right here.
Yeah.
But I would post it on my Instagram. And he was seeing it. So I'm like, what's going on, bro? Feeling your music here, you know, in Louisville, woo, 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 woo. And he's like, oh, already. Appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn. These niggas really, and then they gonna hit you when they get doing deals too.
Yeah.
Hey, 2,000 right now. You got two bands right now. We can do a song right now.
Yes, yeah. And that's cheap because if you did probably got that at the time, people don't think smart. Like, if a nigga's doing a deal, he probably on the brink about to blow.
Yeah.
So if he's about to blow up, do that deal, do that feature. Let it sit for a second. Once he starts scorching, like, start heating up, drop your shit. Drop it properly.
Yeah.
Because if you don't...
People think you just got that feature.
Yeah, not only do they think you just got it, but if you drop it right, it's just going to show up in his other songs by him, the similars.
Yes.
And that's how you build it. I
noticed that on Apple.
So, it's on Apple, it's on Spotify, it's on everything. Yeah. So
how do you properly drop a music, like, walk?
So, 2021, I was fucking around on the Clubhouse. So...
Yeah,
I was like, we trying to release projects, trying to get music out and all of this shit. And I got into a room, just so happened, I was in a room with the CEO of DistroKid. And he's in there talking. And he's like, nah, you like do this. Because at the time, it was an uproar about an ISRC code. ISRC code is how you attach the basically a social security number to your actual song. So I can attach, I have a computer where I can take this code, attached to a song, send that song to DJ, haven't played 10 times, and it's going to count as 10 streams.
Mm-hmm.
Unreleased.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So with me knowing how to do that, I met, also in this room, he brought in the guy that actually ran the site for ISRC, and he gave me a promo code. Promo code gave me 100,000 codes. Each code normally costs $5 to $8. I got a good deal on them, so I sell the codes myself to people. So what you do with this code is you take this code. When you upload a DistroKid, it's now a box there. It never was there at first. So it's a box for your ISRC code. Put the code in there, upload the song, let it register, go to all stores. Take that same code. If you don't got BMI ASCAP, you got a problem.
Yeah, definitely.
Take them codes, put it on BMI ASCAP, and then your song is completely registered and dropped. Like, the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure all the names is right, the features, everything.
You need to get that first.
I had that before I had everything. BMI first. ASCAP first. Then your next step, because niggas don't know this, is that's why I said gatekeeping is a problem. You're not going to hear this from too many people. Like, I went on a live and was explaining this, and a nigga from Universal was on there. He's like, how the fuck you know this? Hey, bro, I took 8 months off of music to learn this, bro.
Right.
And I'm giving it to people damn near free.
Yeah.
So what I've just been doing, I'm like, I don't want to waste my breath. I've been working on an ebook to where people can purchase it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can give you this information, how to do it step by step and breaking it down, because that's a step that's missing from each artist. So the problem with you not having that code is you're giving it the masters to your song, to DistroKid, when they give you your own. Mm-hmm. When they give you their code, we have them, as they were saying. We got the code. They'll give it to you. They're not only taking your masters, they only give you a percentage of what you actually make from the song.
United Masters.
United Masters give you nothing. They don't even have an option for it. They take your masters completely.
Yeah.
Really?
They technically are your label.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's bullshit, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
That code, as an independent artist, is the most important thing to you. Nobody understands this.
Huh.
It's like the social security number for your song to go everywhere and be tracked. Oh, they played your shit in the club. Mm-hmm. And see, that's what I understand about the music. But my aspect of like slowing down for me on the music is it takes more money to make the music in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And you got to be ready for that. And after you did it for so long, it's like, cool. Like you said, I'm going to try to do something outside of music. So we started fucking with the pod. You know what I'm saying? So, and I found more success with the pod because I think it's the formula.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as an artist, you don't really have a formula if you don't have a team. You just a rapper.
Say this, you got more of a voice.
Yeah.
Because you're a focal point.
And people getting to see you, who you are outside of the
music. A rapper, it's harder because, man, everybody rap.
Right.
But what else do you do? So, like, goes back to the point that I always make to people. When you get signed, the label isn't signing you for your music. They're signing you as a brand.
Right.
So, in order for everything to make sense in their mind is, what can we do and what does he do or she do to where we can take it and make it a product worth selling and sell it?
Right.
If I can't sell you to a crowd of people, something's wrong. I'm not doing my job or you're not doing your job. That's right. When people are cut from labels or just dropped immediately. Like, if they don't feel like they can make money from you after you sign, it's over for you. Or beforehand, you're wondering why you're not signed because your product is not good enough to sell.
Right.
You don't have the product to sell. So it goes to people actually working on their craft, bro. Like, I say this, Master P said it a long time ago about Louisville, bro. He said, the problem with Louisville is they don't care about their sale. That's why niggas ain't signed.
Yeah.
Then they gave a fuck and niggas start getting signed and now niggas don't give a fuck again. Niggas ain't getting song mixed or nothing.
Mm. Right, though.
They're not.
Yeah. They just want to play it in the club. They just want to get it played in the club.
Just like y'all do y'all podcast sound, this shit sounds good.
Yeah.
And it's going to take y'all a longer way because it sounds good. Not only does it sound good, but now it looks good.
Right.
Looks good. I'm telling you, if you got to take yourself seriously, you want other people to take you seriously.
Facts.
And that was one of our things when we started this podcast. I'm like, bro, like, that was one of our struggles to getting started. I'm like, we got to do it right. Like, yeah. We can't just throw the iPhone up. You know what I mean? Like,
you got to.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about production.
Yeah.
As long as you can build.
Like you just said, selling it.
Yeah.
You got to sell it to the people because a lot of people be like, man, we didn't even know y'all was in the city.
So it's
I heard it. Yeah. That was crazy.
So like I tell you, I got connects, bro. Like, so I work a regular job because I got bored, because I got downtime with music. It's always downtime with music.
Yeah.
My downtime is fucking 8-9 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I work a regular job. I call off if I got a big session. Fuck y'all.
Yeah, right.
But at the end of the day, I do that because I don't want to get caught up in all this shit. But I worked the other job, and I'm like, I met some people. I meet people there all the time.
Yeah.
And the people, the person.
Some of the best artists is working.
Facts. Like, but the main person I met, bro, and I'm going to share her contact with y'all. I'm going to actually reach out to her, and I'm going to give her y'all podcast, and this is going to be a plug. So I met a lady that works at iHeartRadio.
Really?
Dead serious.
That's what's up.
And literally, bro, she's one of the producers there, and they're looking for podcasts all the time. And I told her, I said, me and Unk wanted to start our own podcast. And I was like, fuck, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm about to just give this to people I know, like Goat Smiley. I told her, like, we do the podcast, I got to have you there.
My B. Haywood, confirmed podcast, he's looking to bring on some more podcasts. So he's looking.
Like I said, I don't know where to start. I don't know what the fuck to do. But we are interested in, like, doing it. That's because when she told me that, I was like, shit, I was talking. Me and Unk was literally talking, bro, about starting one. And I just met her at work, but I did so good of a job with her. She was just like, what do you do? Like, what do you do besides I own the studio? I make music. She's like, anything with podcasting and stuff? And this, I was like, yeah. I've been trying to start one, me and my friend, 27 I said that to her. She's like, oh, that sounds interesting. Well, take my number. Here's my number. If you have anybody that you feel like could benefit from this or where this can benefit you, put me in contact with them. Send me their link. And what I would do is I would reach out to them, have producers. She even reached out to me about my homie Joe. He does photography.
Yeah.
They're looking for film crew
at
heart. And I'm like, shit, here, Joe, give me your contact, bro, so I can send it to her. Nigga took forever to send it to me. But she now has the information.
Yeah.
So they're going through the processing of people now. But I'm like, damn, if you'd have sent it to me at the right time when I told you, you probably wouldn't be the first person that they view, like interview. So they're just going through the process. But he's going to get his interview. So it's just a waiting game at that point. But like, I literally met her working and I met her. She's a white lady. She's the sweetest lady you'll meet. You wouldn't even think she'd do anything with any type of radio. But she showed me her credentials, her cards and everything. And I was like, oh shit, she for real.
Yeah.
So what I've kind of been doing is if I find a good podcast, I just send a shooter the link. So I'm just like, that's one thing I do for y'all, for bringing me on for sure.
I appreciate that. Out of my heart. We appreciate that plug.
For sure, for sure.
And then I said her name is Miss Rosalyn. I can look up. She's at her radio, but I'll make sure y'all get her contact.
Be sure to subscribe Big and Lazy Pod on IG, on YouTube, on TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Spotify, Apple Music, everywhere.
Yes, sir.
So how'd you hear about us? Like, how did you?
Initially, I think it was Mel Vontae's first. And then Six Star came on and he pretty much name dropped me on there.
Six Star's my boy, man.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Man, I feel like he recorded some of his first songs with me, bro. Well, not with me, but I had a little studio and little Sam was his homie.
Sam,
Sam's my little nephew. I used to take it to his house and it was always like six young niggas. That's the first time I first started smoking woods. And six young niggas, all of them got, you know, they own Backwood and they wanted to record music. And Six Star started and I never seen him stop. And Six Star, I put on Facebook one day something about Future and he was like, you crazy. He's like, who you listening to? I was like, you. You feel me? Same thing with JT. JT like, man, what you talking about, bro?
This is JT?
Cutthroat JT.
It's my dog.
Yeah, it's my dog.
Middle school.
Yeah, really? Me too. I went to Newburgh. I was out there. Out that way with bro. then we ended up going to Western together. Mm-hmm. But my dad lived out in Newburgh. So
JT?
He
ended up coming to Iroquois right after that. Like, Microphone Crack, probably one of the best projects Louisville never seen.
Definitely. And Brooke can sing. And he said something like on Facebook one day too, like, man, what you be listening to? You don't like nothing, nigga. You?
Yeah.
You feel me?
He's one of them I can listen to and not think local.
Yeah, all day.
Yeah. Cutthroat. Like, so I got a project that I'm working on. Six Star mentioned it on here because he got a song with Queen.
Okay, yeah.
Cutthroat JT has a song on there. And me and him just one day, I just said, Cut, pull up. Would you make a song? Make a few songs.
Man, you got to get on your DJ Khaled shit, man.
Yeah. I mean, I got a project. I've been working on it for a couple years. Probably about 22 songs right now.
Yeah. Really?
But I've been restructuring and revising it.
You ever worked with Cleazy Picasso?
Uh-uh.
That's my homie.
Yeah.
He makes pretty good music, too.
He definitely do.
Like, I'd say this, though. Like, so a lot of people that I kind of got on there is people that I worked hand-in-hand with. Like, the artist I got with me, Trapstar J3. Mm-hmm. Him and Six Star actually got a song. I put Six Star on the song before they fucking met.
Yeah.
These niggas just made another song last night.
Damn.
Him and my one of my engineer and other producers, Mark Stone, Caribbean kid, like, they now have something to where they can come in the studio, like, Stone cooked some shit up live for them last night. It's like a mix between Afrobeat, some Caribbean shit in a club song all together. This nigga rapping in Spanish on her.
Damn.
Feel me? Stone Cold.
Yeah.
He's bilingual.
Uh-huh.
He looked like a nigga. You wouldn't even be able to tell that he's Hispanic. Yeah.
It's in his household.
But his mama doesn't even speak English at all. But he'll come in like...
He's from Louisville?
He's from St. Lucia.
Okay.
But he been here for a long time. So the thing with him, bro, is like, shit, he been with me damn near since the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, I started with...
Relationships is everything.
Yeah. It is.
That's my business partner now. Like, at first, mm-hmm. he just worked there. But I seen, bro, his mindset is, bro, we gonna make this work. That's just his mindset. So I was like, fuck it. We can come in. I'm bring you as his business partner.
Yeah.
So... Feel me? I don't do no nothing just without. I don't just go off the rim. Yeah, everything starts with me, but I'm not just gonna do no shit just because. Yeah. I'm be like, hey, bro, that's what I'm about to do.
It's a plan.
Bet. It's like, yeah. Bet, it works. Like, I'm like, tell me if that shit don't work though. Don't just say this because it's me. Like, tell me if it don't work. I'm gonna be like, and tell me why it doesn't work. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if that shit makes sense, then shit, we're gonna rethink and revise it. So, but he's one of those people, bro. Like, I can throw him in front of you, bro. This nigga will rap. And you're like, who the fuck is this nigga? This little nigga's cold. He don't like, he's one of them people that hoards music, bro.
Yeah.
Put that shit out eventually, bro. Like, put some shit out.
I know a lot of people like that, bro.
He's a perfectionist, so I can't be mad at him. You know what I mean? So, like, it's a lot of talent around here, bro.
It is.
And it's just unheard and unseen. So, and I feel some type of way about it because I know it should be heard and seen, and the people of who's ain't letting it happen, bro. So we gotta figure a way to do it our damn self.
Facts.
So if you could work with any artist in the country, who would it be? Like any artist anywhere. Just told you.
Give me Drake. I'll take Drake all day.
Drake?
I'll take Drake all
day. Yeah, you ain't gonna miss.
It's hard to miss.
Yeah. Drake can lose on a battle on stage in front of everybody and everybody still be like,
he's still the coldest rapper. Yeah,
that
like
went good.
They don't care, bro. But no, as for music purposes, Drake. Now, as a personal favorite, I really like Lil Durk. I take Travis Scott too.
Yeah, Travis,
because he give me a different mind. Yeah, he put me in a whole different ball game when it comes to producing because his sound's different.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I went to Astro World. I went to the concert, man. That was probably the best concert I've ever been to. It was such an experience, man. And I can't imagine people taking their kids to a Travis Scott festival because the mosh pit and all that shit's real, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? But his artistry has grown since he, like, I love them artists that got better and better and better and better. You know what I'm saying? I ain't really listened to his last project, but Astro World was one of the best albums I ever heard.
That's why I like from Chicago, I like Lil Durk probably the most. Because he's the only rapper from Chicago that has completely changed as music's changed.
He has, bro. When he started out, he was like, I couldn't.
Straight bars. Like, he was just rapping. And then he dropped This Ain't What They Want, and he knew what it was. This ain't go through the bullshit with the label, dropped. Mm-hmm. Go to another label, bullshit. Then dropped the biggest song in the fucking world with Drake in 2020 as we going through our shit show with COVID.
Yeah.
Dropped the biggest song in the world, and it's like, damn, he's independent now.
Yeah.
But him signing fucked up deals did that.
Definitely.
And put him in everybody's face. It goes back to my point earlier.
He was signed with French Montana, wasn't he?
Coke Boys, and he was signed with Def Jam alone. And then I think that was it. Because he started out with Def Jam, then went to Coke Boys, and I think he went back to Def Jam.
Yeah.
Interscope, it was one of those. And then.
So he's your favorite artist from Chicago?
Yeah, that's my favorite artist from early Chicago, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, so, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
If you could see anybody on here, like, but you got to be able to make it call. Like,
20 second hunk, you ain't got to finish.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I can make it happen. It's just time. Days is really what it is.
Yeah, we ran into a little scheduling conflict.
Yeah.
We're going to make it work for him, though.
Because I tell you this, Sundays, Saturdays, and Fridays, he ain't got work till nighttime. So he's good at any time in between them days.
So we might have to get him Sunday afternoon.
Something like that. If y'all can put him in here. I'll make sure you get here. I'll come over with him. Kidnap his ass and bring him over. But he's gonna be entertainment in itself. Shit.
Yeah. Like, I'll be watching this post of me cracking the hell up. Like, when he did that Cellophane challenge, oh my God.
Challenge was wrecked.
But peep this though. So with that, the best part of that, it was his own fucking song.
Yeah.
So he did it, the Cellophane, bro, that translated into streams.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh shit. Like, it literally translated into streams. So people went and see, what the fuck is this song?
That's so smart, dog, because they monetizing the
He song. Did it, but he did it unintentionally. He didn't think, but he didn't even think about it. He just did the shit.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't thinking about, like, he's not one of those people that's calculated like that. He's just do what he feels like.
Yeah.
It's funny.
That's what makes it good.
Yeah.
I hate a fake-ass prank. You know.
Stage shit. Yeah. Don't nobody want. But his shit is authentic as hell. So it's like when he do something, y'all, people would just be like, man, this nigga's crazy. Yeah.
Especially if you're from around that way and you done never even just seen him. You're going to know it's authentic.
Yeah, plus he was a little, he'd tell you, he'd be the first one to tell you, bro, I was out here tripping. Like, nigga, I was out here wowing, a car couldn't go past me and I couldn't steal it. Like, he'd tell you straight up, he's Jack Boy. But then he's like, shit, real life hit. And he's like, just had to change my life. Like, nigga told me, bro, I was like, that's how I'm going to fuck with you forever. Nigga told me, bro, he pray every day. God, thank you for bringing Marty in my life. I swear to God.
Really?
That's dope, bro.
I said, damn, nigga.
Good people's hard
crazy.
To come back.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, relationships is everything.
I used to wouldn't even take his money to record.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, nah, nigga, you taking this. Nigga, that nigga sent me a chime to my email.
Yeah.
I don't know how to reverse it, so I have no choice but to accept it. Uh-huh. So for the longest, he just chimes me emails, like chimes me shit through my email because I can't refuse the payment.
Yeah.
But like at first he was like, nah, bro, I don't want it to feel like free. You feel me? I don't want to feel like I'm sponging. I'm gonna pay my way. I said, shit, I can only respect it.
Right. Because every real nigga know that shit only lasts so long.
Yeah.
Even if it's coming from the heart, it's gonna be a time where like, all right, my nigga, I need to get paid. You know.
Yeah.
But I always say that people hate that. Like, man, I ain't about the money, man. It's whatever. Because I own a barbershop, so when I first get people in there, I'll be like, you know what I'm saying? Take your time and woo-dee-woo. Yeah. You know, don't worry about the woo-dee-woo. But after a while, everybody that I done had in there always be like, nah, man, show business. I see how much you know what I'm saying? So just like I said, relationships is everything. People burn bridges with people. You know, people burn bridges with motherfuckers they don't even know. That they don't even need.
Yeah.
Like this ain't going nowhere. You know what I mean?
The same people you see on the way up, the same people
you see on the way down, man. And you got to treat everybody the same. You feel me? There's a way to deal with people that's not financially able to finance something, but they got the talent.
Yeah.
That's what people go wrong at. They be cool with the piggybacking, all right, I can make this happen, or I can make that happen, or I can do this and I can do that. But you right here still. It's still a room that you can't get in.
Yo.
But that's why I say relationships are everything. If you really get to know somebody and see that they got a real talent and you telling them that, man, I need this. I need $2,500 to take you to this and that. Like, damn, like, you know, but you know their situation. You just, like, gatekeeping, bro. Like, you know that they can make some money. So it's like you just waiting around. And if you don't feel like you're going to get a cut, like, fuck that shit. I would love to take an artist to the next level, whether I got paid or not.
Yep.
I can come to a set like this and be like, hey, man, you know, I helped break this artist. I helped break that artist. You know what I'm saying? Everybody just be wanting the money. You feel me? The money's going to come. You got the talent. The right person to find the talent, because it really don't take that much bread to find somebody.
Nah.
The artists that get found be the artists that get found. Through relationships. Hey, I got a sexy red, man. She's funny. She makes sexy, crazy songs. This is just the perfect time. Yeah. She wow. You know what I'm saying? They not ready to be like, cool, bring it in. Make sure you got that half a meal for me, though, so I'll put her on. Yeah. They going to take whatever money they got, and boom, we going to put her in front of everybody. Because that's where all the money come from. The money goes to promotion.
Yep. And you're going to get a lot of the money back on the back end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So what kind of bag do I need if I'm up and coming artist to make a song pop? Like, what's the budget for a song if I'm trying to, you know, lack for better words, go platinum, make a hit, or what's the...
Shit, that part I don't know.
Yeah.
And I say that because I ain't went platinum yet. You know what I mean? But I can help you bubble your song. I know where to take your money. Like, if your budget is $500... I know where to put your money at.
Right.
With you. Like, I will literally sit with you, show you how to put your money here, show you how to push a song, a single, in a proper rollout.
That's what I was about to say, too. I think it's mostly having people around you that know where to put it. Just like you said. So if you do got a bag, because niggas will spend $1 million out here and never make it.
With that rap, like, I ain't going to say hood rich niggas that rap.
Yeah.
And don't put they can't make nothing. No buzz. They think it's just recording. No, bro. No.
Yeah.
You need marketing, nigga.
I'm going to say a name. My nigga Leak Marley, man. My nigga Leak Marley, he's cold. He got songs Bayface Ray. Mm-hmm. He got, you know what I'm saying? But he's one of them hoarder songs. He a hoard song too. Yeah. You feel me? But the key is he's cold. Like his like he's a rapper, but he got the trap edge about him.
Yeah.
You feel me? But I feel like he don't put it towards
marketing, the right stuff.
The right stuff. If he had somebody, like I told him one time, I said, bro, I'll stop rapping. And I get all the information I can get, meet who I can meet, because you got it. You got that talent to where if somebody heard you, it's more of like a cult following because you know how Jeezy was. That's the feeling you get.
All the old niggas. They love Jeezy, bro. Jeezy ain't never going nowhere.
No.
45 and up, Jeezy's never going nowhere.
Never.
Bro.
You can always be booked.
It's over with.
You feel me? But that's the feeling I've always got from Cuz. Always. When he's sitting in the studio and he's writing, he's like, listen what I got. It sound like I'm a you feel me? It's that same. I'm like, bro, I'm done rapping, bro. So, you got the juice.
Who do you think won that versus?
Which one?
Gucci and Jeezy.
I'm a Gucci fan.
I'm a Gucci fan too.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say Gucci for the simple fact that Gucci had a point. Like it's supposed to be a versus.
Yeah, he came out there without smoke.
But that also made me mad too, though.
He missed some songs. He was getting a point across,
swing
bro.
My door.
Hey, he's getting a point of call. But they only get 10 songs.
Yeah, I don't drive slow. He missed a lot, but I like the disrespect. That's why 50's my favorite nigga.
He don't give a fuck.
He don't give a fuck. And like you said earlier, you said, what you gonna do other than rap?
50 got a bag.
He did it all. And the other thing you said about, and you said, like, you don't mind being the water boy and the winning team. Mm-hmm. Tony Yayo is the happiest nigga
ever.
Ever.
Because what 50 did for him is put him in front of people.
Come on, man.
And now he turned into Tony A. It was just funny. Him and Uncle Murder, two of the funniest niggas, man. Bro.
Yeah.
You see him arguing
over a movie for 2 days. Bro, go home, go to sleep, bro. Like, they arguing about what movies they was in for 2 days, bro. Like,
and I went to go see 50 last year. And, like, of course I'm seeing 50, but I'm like, damn, it's Tony A. Yo. You feel what I'm saying? At Vegas. Yeah, Love is a Friend.
So who was the hardest person to you in G-Unit?
Besides 50, because 50 got the hooks.
Escape him, yeah. Besides 50,
It's probably gonna be Banks.
Yeah,
I mean, Tony Ayo's really like, I feel like Tony Ayo's more like me. I'm only rapping because you my nigga.
Is. Yeah,
and like Tony Ayo said, he said, man, when I came home, he said, you feel me? The nigga gave me a mink, and like 50 said, he was gone the whole tour, but when he came home, he put money up for him. When he came home, he had millions of dollars. You feel me? Crib. You feel me? Didn't have to worry about nothing. So what you going to do now? Go back to the streets? Nah, nigga, I'm going to rap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was definitely. Lloyd Banks was a different animal. Bro.
He was. Remember
but,
they tried, you know, versus him and Cassidy, him and they tried to put.
He'll watch Cassidy, though.
Yeah. Think so?
Yeah.
I think.
I like Cassidy, but that old school freestyling shit, that's just done, bro.
Yeah, and like, watch Cassidy. Banks can rap.
Yeah, he like, can rap.
He can make good song. Yeah,
he can make good song.
Be, yeah.
Yeah, my favorite song, he ever did, though, was with Avant. That, what did he say? Remember who's the who first?
Yeah.
I am the one you deny.
Yeah, you well, them R&B hooks used to be something back in the early 2000s, man.
Magic, man. You know, 50 wrote that for LL Cool J too.
I got a question.
Who's gonna love you better?
Nah, he ain't write who love you better. He wrote Paradise.
Okay.
If you need me, baby.
Yeah.
So who makes the best hooks, singing hooks, or just hooks in general?
Now, ever.
Oh, ever.
That's hard. You can. I can give you a top three.
Give me one. I'm a top y'all though.
T-Pain.
I go Nate Dogg. That's
early on, T-Pain, Nate Dogg.
Nate Dogg, my number one.
I'm going to go Ty Dolla $ign. Ty Dolla $ign had a run.
Ty, too.
Yeah.
But Nate Dogg, he broke the barrier once that Pac shit hit and everybody died. He was from the West Coast, but he was going down fuck with Fab. He was going down with, you know what I'm saying? That's why, but I'm going to tell you another one, too, for real. Is one of the most slept on niggas ever.
He does everything. We talking about Kanye, everything. Bro. Pharrell does everything, bro.
Yeah, Ye's the shit. But Pharrell,
that's a different
he got man. Them songs that's not his.
It's his, though.
He don't want to be the top dog, but he didn't mean to take over that.
He knows this fits this person, bro.
Yeah.
Take
yeah.
this. Because it's a hit. It's a hit for you.
Get blow. You feel me? He mm-hmm. got the one more, though, that I think people sleep on. The Dream.
Oh, yeah.
Was so cold in a time frame that I think that, and I just think that certain people just should just be the producer, but he was one of them that wasn't going to sit back like, nah, I can write, I can do all this, and I can do it myself.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
feel me? But the image, like his image is more, you know, the background guy. But
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you're just never going to get that time back neither. That was so, everybody we just named was in
an era. Even going back to Gucci and Jeezy.
Gucci and Jeezy was an era. Like, I hate when people like, Gucci got 100 mixtape, only 10 of them is good. Shit. How many niggas you know got 10 good
Chamberlain,
mixtape?
Yeah.
Besides Future, nobody. And Wayne.
Just keep it real. How many niggas you know got... I'd rather drop 1,000 tapes and you fuck with 5.
Yeah.
If that's the hardest 5 you
five
ever heard.
Classics, yeah.
You feel me?
Because what they can do with that 5 is create an album and redrop the shit, get paid again.
You feel me? But Gucci's, that time was like the time where, like now I think it's more like really like catching bodies. Like even though it was like murder rap and shit too,
shit
it was
cool,
more about getting money. And the niggas was showing us how to get money off music.
I say this,
early.
I don't like him, like his music that much, but I fuck with him as Boss Man D-Lo because he's bringing it back. He's bringing back money rap, bro. Like, niggas is rapping about money. It ain't always killing, nigga, bro.
Yeah.
I can't really name too many times a song where he say he about to kill a nigga,
bro. I can make the dope
shit. That's the devil's music talking, like.
Feel me?
And that's why the club vibe is a little off. Y'all in here.
Yeah, man.
In the dark.
Everybody on demon time. Yeah. Everybody on demon time.
Man.
Hold up the wall.
Full of drugs.
Come on, man.
Listen to murderous music for 20 straight songs.
But
20 straight songs, niggas just slide and 30 round ops and switches.
I've heard people say, like DJ Jerry, they tired of his, but DJ Jerry, you feel me? I don't go out a lot, but every time I go out, he gives you that dancing vibe.
Yeah. He knows his crowd. Like, I've been knowing Jerry since I was in sixth grade, bro.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I played a game with him. I might go home and play the game with him right now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Bro, he's a gatekeeper, but he's not.
Yeah.
Like I've seen Jerry just go up like, all right, I'm about to play your song because I fuck, because he do it with Queen all the time.
Right.
Hit the Queen whole time. Shit's on my beat.
Queen. Yeah. Is that I can't even think of a real name.
Shaquita.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been my best friend since seventh grade, bro.
I got a song with Shaquita, too. It's called Back
to Go Down. She went to Wagner this year.
Yeah, she went to Wagner for
yep.
me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's been my best friend since seventh grade, bro. We talked every day.
She came and
day.
Did that shit for me,
That
too.
Was you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, her whole first project, second project, all me. All them beats.
That's what's up, man.
Every really? Last one of them, yeah.
But that's what I was doing for a minute, bro. Like, I was just like, I feel like I make nice hooks and shit.
Yeah.
And nice melody. I make songs. I try to make, like, nice little structured songs. But that's just the era I come from, too. You feel me? But I just reached out to her. And at first, I was just calling her Sneed. I was, because my big brother, he's on some player shit all the time. He called all the girls by their last name.
He's a goofy dog.
You feel me? I swear, bro. Like, my big brother, Riles, is coming.
I'm doing the same shit, too, bro.
That might be the funniest shit that I've probably seen in person, bro. You just call out females. Because that's what we do on the basketball team.
Yeah.
You call everybody their last name.
Right, yeah. right,
Sneed,
right.
She walking past. I know that shit's embarrassing as hell.
Yeah. And she wrote me. She was like, because I made the cover. And she was like, it's Queen. I was like, my fault. Like, I literally was just
because
like,
it's not an apostrophe. Because I structured that name. Like, I literally.
Okay.
She's the first artist I recorded in my closet.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That I started.
And she can rap. She can rap.
Yeah. Yeah. We just did some shit last weekend. So
you got to get her on here.
That's easy.
She's cool
that's
like
easy.
That too. She'll just come and sit down. Like, cause even when I
done reached out to her and she wrote back on some cool shit.
Oh, she
you know,
cool.
She get lost in the shelf. You know,
I cut her sons
would
her.
Go, she's like, I would go get her and bring her as her.
Yeah, I cut her sons her sometimes. You feel me? Like, like I just, we were just cool on Facebook. And one day I sent her a song and she was like, yeah, I've heard some of your music. I was like, cool. Well, here's the song. I went and did the hook and shit. And she was like, oh, yeah, I like it. She's like, so you want me to get the whole rest? I'm like, yeah.
Cause where'd y'all record it at?
At my homie's house. Shout out to Yella and PK. His name is Robert Drake. His real name is Robert Drake.
But he go back PK. You know, PK,
My nigga PK. He's one of them too. Like, he's probably the best artist I ever heard out of the city. Artist. Like, actually see the process and the ending. And that's why a lot of my music is how it is.
Structured how it is.
Because it's like, bro don't write. I've never seen him. The first song we ever did was probably like 2012. It was called Before I Die. And I just spit that shit, and bro was like, come over. And the first night I went over, he's like a real extrovert. He don't fuck with nobody.
Oh, yeah.
Like, at all. Like, and some of his closest people be like, bro, he really fuck with you, bro. Like, we'll call him all day, and then we'll see that you was with him all day.
People hate that, bro.
Locked in.
People don't like that. Like, if you're one of them artists that... they like an engineer that people try to blow up. Yeah. You don't respond, but they see.
And he also is recording everybody while trying to be a rapper.
Yeah, I can't do that shit. I'm not even gonna try to rap.
So like one time,
you ain't never tried to get in the booth.
Hell no.
One time, people just hit me trying to record and all that.
Think about this, bro. I was a hooper up until 2018, 19, bro. I just picked up music because first my cousin Brandon was like, bro, we need a producer. That's what made me initially do it.
Right.
Then I reached out to a nigga. Jerry had referred me to somebody.
Yeah.
And he was like, because my cousin was on their last leg with the music. They was just about to be done with the shit if they couldn't get shit all together. So Jerry sent me to somebody. He's like, nah, I don't fucking new niggas. I said, damn, it's fucked up. Like, nigga, damn.
It got to be like
that sometime. Then I go and, oh, this nigga got me fucked up, bro. I'm about to make this shit work. Go to the point to where, and really in like 5 years, bro, I deal with a lot of niggas can't do.
Yeah. Consistency,
hit a major. Literally by myself.
Mm-hmm.
From nothing. Nigga, I didn't know how to do this 5 years ago.
That's big, right?
Taught myself how to do this shit.
Yeah.
People was missing. Like, I taught myself how to make beats. I taught myself how to record people. I taught myself how to make it sound good.
Yeah.
That's very hard to do. To the point to where, like, say back to Ski Mike, whenever he records, well, I get him here, bro. Mm-hmm. I just send the music back to fucking Sony, bro. They do the mastering and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they don't even mix it because I already do it.
And you said you were signed with Sony, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's up, man.
That's what's up, man.
And this that was a blessing in itself. Brett didn't even know I got a deal from him.
Yeah.
Because we were so tied in. He didn't even know. Uh-huh. I had to tell him. He came in. I turned this music back to drop. I said, bro, you know they offered me, bro? He's like, you lying. I showed him. He was like, the same shit I just kind of showed you.
Yeah.
It was some other paperwork. It's a lot of, bro. I got to fill like 6-7 forms a month, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it's really a headache paperwork-wise, but it's worth it in the long run. But
hell yeah. I mean, like you said, you done more in that time frame than a lot of people.
Done,
but it's also being consistent. And
yeah.
Like, yeah, we want to be paid, but you went out on a limb and did shit for people, too. And that's what you get back.
I used to be scared to charge people for beats, bro.
Yeah.
Because I was... like, nah, hell no. Nah. But my cousin, Cartez, he the fed. He about to get out, though. He kind of put some shit behind me. Like, nigga, you got life fucked up. You ain't doing this for free.
Right.
Like, that was his mindset.
But that's how you get your name out there, too. Mm-hmm. Like I ain't never sold dope, but I do everything like I'm selling
you
dope.
You do Molly, though.
That's why.
Remember,
you
said he'd be
Molly,
singing.
Bro.
You drink a Taylor Port, you get him a big jug of Taylor Port,
Molly,
and a big Molly bag.
Taylor Port's Molly in a bottle, bro.
Yeah, he's be singing crazy. And shit with his shirt off.
I fuck with the Taylor Port, but I don't fuck with the Molly.
That's what I was going to tell you earlier. So, remember, I was telling you about Unc. So, a funny ass story. So, a couple weeks ago, I go and I rent. So, my studio got 1,400 square feet. Yeah. So, I got my studio room, and then I got a common space where I just have events. I have a little setup that I do photography. So, I do photo shoots and stuff too. So, I clear all this out in. Uncle came in, my brother, I had rented that to my brother to do a little party for his homie. His first birthday party, this nigga turned 40. This nigga ain't never had a birthday party. I said, nigga, damn, that's late. So all their friends is coming in.
Yeah.
One of them comes and just give me a five. I was like, oh, what's up, bro? You Mikey's brother, dude? I was like, yeah. So I go in the room. Uncle's like, hey, can I record with you? I said, yeah, they shit ain't about to start for like another hour, so we can knock something out. So he come in, knock something out, whoop whoop. Bro walks in the room. We finishing the song. I guess he heard that Unk's recording, so he walks in the room. This nigga walks. First thing he says, Unk goes, Marty, what's up, Unk? Woot the woot. Who's Marty? Like, Unk said, what? He right here. He like, oh, you Marty? I said, yeah. I gave the nigga a five. I'm like, nigga, you just gave me a five right there. Y'all, I ain't know you was Marty, bro. You like Desi Banks, you know how Parlay is?
Yeah.
Said, that's who we think I am.
Uh-huh.
He's like, bro, you sound like a mythical nigga because nobody knew who the fuck. They never seen my face.
Yeah.
Because I don't just pop out and be everywhere.
Yeah.
I like being behind the scenes. I like, shit, this is one of the main podcasts that I was going to do this year.
Yeah.
I'm only going to do y'all and Eric J. That's damn near it.
Who?
Eric J. the Great. Which I
tapped in with nigga. Them too.
Eric J. He didn't have Bubba Dub. He didn't have Cash Doll, Peasy. He didn't have a lot of people.
You from here?
Yeah, nah. He from Alabama, but he's from here. He got here because he was fucking like skinny. But that's one nigga I can get over here with y'all. That can be some shit because he got a big platform. Matter of fact, he had a real Rick Ross on that motherfucker on a Zoom call.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's dope, right?
So what's his name, my nigga. I talk to this Eric J. The Great Podcast. Okay, I talk to this nigga every day, damn near.
Uh-huh.
That's what's up.
So, and he's one of them people that got connections that, you know, just can...
Relationships, man. Relationships.
He good. Yeah, he good crazy. Peoples, but... But look, I'm going back to say that dude literally called me Parlay from Desi Banks because he's like, bro, I ain't even know who you was. I said, yeah, nigga, you just gave me a 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Nigga, you
that's
don't
how
know.
A producer is, man. You feel like, me? He's the goat at this shit, man.
He's behind the scenes.
He's behind the scenes, don't see face.
But I told people I'm going to start, like, showing face more because they was like, you need to do that.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's the reason I don't is more so because, like, it's the artist's time, bro. Like, at the end of the day, I already got paid. Like you were saying, who get paid? I already got paid for this.
Right.
I need to help them get paid. I don't need to take the spotlight.
You don't need to be on your Diddy.
Mm-hmm. No Diddy. But, yeah, that's just the main, kind of the main thing, bro. I'd rather the artist be seen before me. Like, we popping out. Yeah, I'm going to pop out my camera, shoot your video and everything.
Right.
I do all of that. Like,
you with the team.
No, I shoot music videos. Nigga, I'm in school at Full Sail, too. Like, I'm about to finish video school.
That's what's up, man. I want to go back, man. I ain't finished, man.
So, like.
Finish that shit, bro.
Yeah, hell yeah. But my whole thing is like, bro, I got tired of waiting on people to do certain shit. Videographers, cover. Nigga, I got to learn how to do everything myself.
Real talk.
Because I hate waiting on people.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I know I can finish a video in about 7 to 9 days. This nigga taking 3 weeks because he want to shoot 10 videos.
Yeah.
Nah, break that shit down. Schedule it out. Let you get yourself some time, bro.
Yeah.
Fuck the money. It's going to come.
Right. You don't want to overload.
I be hearing about the video niggas taking so long on my niggas' video.
Bro, at one point, every video person I know disappeared, bro.
Yeah.
The only person I was fucking with was T-Breezy, and she moved to fucking Tampa. Mm-hmm. So I started doing cyphers in 2020.
Flocko. Where Flocko been?
I don't know. Yeah. Bro, T-Breezy came from fucking Tampa, Florida to shoot a cypher video for me. All females.
Damn.
Really?
I swear to God. She just came out of
Who's all Florida. The females you had in there?
Is that the one on the bridge with Queen?
That's Queen. That's the first one.
Okay. Yeah.
It was Queen, Guapanese. Her name is Rodney Powell. Katina Powell's daughter.
Mm-hmm. She rap?
Yeah, she cold.
No shit.
Guapanese cold.
They was all on the bridge.
You talking about visually or spitting on the mic?
Mic. Fuck, visually she's cold, but on the mic she's cold, bro.
Yeah.
I see her every day. She never said nothing about the fucking.
But you said she be trying to come on, though.
I'm telling you, bro. Bring on her. She cold, bro.
She was trying to plug you.
I got plenty of music with her, bro. I'm her producer.
She never told me that. I'm gonna see her tomorrow. Like, you didn't tell me you fucking rap. Yeah, like,
you didn't know me. You didn't tell me you was 50 Cent.
She's one of those people where sometimes when you see numbers and they don't translate to how you want them to, fuck music. That's what happens.
But she's cold, she can rap her ass off.
But it was Queen, Guapanese.
A lot of people can't see it at first.
My artist Poodle from Lexington, she probably one of the coldest female rappers y'all gonna hear.
Yeah.
She just one of those people been rapping since she was 16. She's 23. She's just like, fuck rap. But then when she's feeling it.
Yeah.
So she's one of them. I had this girl named Javasanae. She was young, like 17 at the time. I think she was the youngest one on her. I had this girl named Amani. She had came back from school, just so happened to be Ray John Rondo's niece.
Yeah. You ever work with Anna B?
Anna B, yeah.
Yeah, she's dope. She's
awesome. The Stone I was telling you about, she mainly works with Stone a lot.
Uh-huh.
She works this in my studio. Like, yeah. They got projects together. And then one of my other producers she worked with, name is Jordan, JP. So she's like, I'm going to be real, bro. If you see all the people that I'm connected to, you're like, God damn, nigga, you know everybody.
Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to be,
but
man.
But I'm behind. I can touch every artist. Like, one of my favorite artists is Sade Lee. Sade out here working, cuz. Like, I don't like the Kentucky Awards for the simple fact is I feel like they're biased. So we're
going to sweep them this year.
She did 80-something shows last year.
Yeah.
She didn't win Rick of the Year or Grind of the Year. That speaks to me. There's something wrong with that. Yeah. Y'all need to fix them awards.
It's all about payoff.
That's why I don't never...
You can't call it a war show, bro, and not be honest about it.
Right.
Because to me, I was people like, be so mad about it, too, sometimes, because it's like, y'all know they're going to be biased. So
bro,
it's like...
Bro, me and Bills finished second in producing 1 year behind Forever Rolling. I said, why the fuck is he on her?
Yeah.
We second and third.
Right. Forever
that means we first and second. Why the fuck is he on her? They don't even make sense. He don't give a damn about these awards.
Nah,
granted,
he's not
at
even...
this point, I didn't, but I felt some type of way, because I'm like, y'all have him on her. At least Bills is second. He can take first place. I'm cool with second. That's my nigga.
Right, yeah. Right.
I'm cool. We talk.
That's like putting Metro Boomin on her just because he's
from. Bro, that's stupid to me, bro.
That was dumb
like,
as fuck.
Make the awards make sense, bro. Like, if we gonna do this, do it to where the right people are like getting the awards.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because I feel like I said, Eric J. This nigga had some of the biggest people on his podcast last year and did not even get nominated.
Yeah.
Made zero sense to me, bro.
I don't think we gonna win, bro.
Yeah.
I think they gonna hate on us, bro.
I'm telling you, niggas be teaming up. We don't get no type of fucking.
It's the gatekeeper.
That's gatekeeper. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Because my thing is, but, like, go ahead.
We got to wrap it up here. We ran out of time.
Oh, damn, my bad.
The conversation's going that good.
I'll come back for part two. Shit.
Before we get out of here, though, it's the Big and Lazy Podcast. Give us something good to eat and give us something good to watch before you get out of there.
I don't eat red meat, so it's cut out. I only eat pork. I take it back. I eat a little red meat, but I've kind of cut it strictly down to fish and chicken. So.
Yeah.
Ain't go wrong, though.
Damn, man. We can go to King's all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We go Chicken King's all day. But something good to watch, it's two things. On Hulu, it's the Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
I binge watched it twice.
And then Stranger Things. If y'all ain't seen Stranger Things.
My son watches it.
I gotta watch it.
Like, just watch it.
Yeah.
Because it'll get tricky at first. Just watch it, bro. I'm telling y'all, gonna be like, oh, shit. Y'all start binge watching it because it get real good.
Yeah.
And I can't watch everything musically because I got to get away from music sometimes.
Right. That's the best thing to think.
You know what I mean? So, but, yeah, for the most part, that's it. Go to King's, bro.
Man, you can't go wrong, bro.
Can't go wrong with King's. Chicken King's. On 18th, King's. Don't go to Broadway. Go to 18th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then
I don't go up east for no chicken. That's just me.
And then Stranger Things and Wu-Tang on Hulu. Like,
yeah
it's two good shows.
And just like that, we out.
We out.
This podcast was produced by B. Haywood for Confirmed Podcast Network.
Shut up my eat if you my favorite hoe, bitch, I don't care. Dabbing at that pussy like a poo, I got my goggles on. Trying to knock the socks up off this bitch and make a wobble on. That model, why she doing it, how she jumped to put her pants on. Do something to a nigga, I'm trying to fuck her to this damn song. Say she ain't a fan, but tell the DJ put her jam on. When they play my shit, she popping pussy.
Hey, B. Haywood, Confirmed Podcast Network. Thank you for all the continued support. Continue to check out We Them Girls Podcast as well as Big and Lazy Podcast on the Confirmed Podcast Network. We love you. Thank you for the support and keep on listening. We got more content coming for y'all. Thank you.
Hey, this is B. Haywood, executive producer of Confirmed Multimedia. And if you want extra content, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/confirmed and get early access to all of our content.
You're listening to Confirmed.